Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Bank Marketing Show. We're really glad to have you with us today and are particularly excited about the conversation and the topics that Dan and I are going to cover with you, because it really impacts everybody in the industry. So no matter what facet of marketing that you're in, or just a financial institution professional of any level, I think today's topic and conversation will be really important for you. So Dan, good to see you. Glad to have you.
Yeah, likewise. Always good to chat.
Absolutely.
We're emailing back and forth a lot all week, so it's always good to hop on the phone.
There you go. Absolutely.
Yeah, and we were prepping for this this episode and just got thinking a lot about, I think we're going to talk today through, the topic is channel mix and all the different things that, as a bank, you should be thinking about doing in your marketing. You're probably, if you're like most banks that we work with, you're probably doing little pieces of all of the things that we're going to talk about. But, our goal in this conversation is to help you think more broadly about it, think about how much you're doing in each area, and hopefully generate some extra ideas for you. So, yeah, well, I'll kind of dive in. Let's talk about channel mix. What is channel mix? What do we mean by that? You might hear it called by different things, but really we're just talking about marketing in multiple different places, right? So channel mix is made up of a bunch of different stuff. Traditional marketing, your newspaper, magazine ads, local radio, those types of things that a lot of banks have been doing for a lot of years. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, anything else you can kind of think of. Things that you're doing on your website. So, is it mobile responsive? Is it being updated with your latest offers? Are all your products represented? SEO. So how are you ranking in search on Google and other places? And then finally, digital advertising. Are you running Google ads? Are you running Facebook ads? Are you running, display, YouTube, those types of things? So today we're going to kind of talk through each of those areas and talk about why they're important, what they do for your bank, and how to think about how they all kind of run together, right? How much you should focus in each area.
Yep. And Dan, you and I get questions to each of our agencies on a regular basis from our financial institution clients that are trying to figure out, okay, here's my budget, my overall marketing budget for the year, service and hard costs and everything included. What does the mix need to be?
Yeah.
How much, needs to go in each category in an intentionally planned process, ideally. In one of our prior podcasts, you and I talked a lot about strategic planning. And it touched largely on that correct planning process. And now we're to the point of, okay, in the implementation of this channel mix, well, how much needs to go in each category, both in effort and money, correct?
Right. Right. And I think we're going to have, we're planning additional episodes around, and I think the other two parts of this are audience and budget, right? So yep. Part of determining the channel mix is who is the audience you're trying to reach. A lot of banks come to us wanting to reach, young families or students that will stick with the bank for a long time. You're not reaching them through local newspaper ads. Right? Those local newspaper ads may still be important for other segments or other audiences you're trying to reach, but you want to design your channel mix and, allocate your budget according to who you're trying to reach. So you kind of have to think about it all in one. Start with the strategy, think about the types of accounts, you need in your bank or the types of loans you want to attract. That leads to starting to think about which channels, you need to emphasize. And then, we'll get into these in future episodes on what channels are best for what audiences, how much budget to allocate to each, and help you put together the full picture.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that summary of kind of the the point of all of these discussions on the podcast here combined. So great point.
So I think we can jump in. I want to think we've kind of touched on like why marketing on multiple channels is important, but just to sort of build on something I just said around, you know, we start working with a lot of banks that, oh, we've been doing this local newspaper ad for 30 years, right? We've been a sponsor of the high school football game, or we've got our sign up on the field. All these things kind of flow into this traditional marketing bucket, which is the first bucket we'll talk about, right? And that's, you know, everything from newspaper to print brochures, direct mail campaigns, billboards, press releases, those types of things.
Sponsorships, radio, yeah, various outdoor, all of those things that fall into that category. That's right.
Yep. Yep. And a lot of banks still spend heavily on it, right? And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But if you're, you know, the point I want to make here is if you're only still focused on traditional media, you're probably missing a big chunk of the audience, right? Think about who is, and we'll get into this more in the audience episode, but you have to kind of think with traditional, you have to think about what are these things doing for your bank, right? You can put up a billboard, you get a lot of people driving by it, but who is calling, who is coming in, right? It may be good from a brand awareness standpoint. It may be good because you're trying to attract a commuter along a certain route, but you've got to kind of balance it in with everything else. So what I started to say was we work with a lot of banks that say, we've been doing these traditional newspaper ads for 30 years, and we start breaking down into budget, and we say, oh, well, you're spending, you know, $1,500 a month on newspaper ads. Have you ever tried any digital marketing just to see kind of what it could do? And, you know, no, we haven't. It's too expensive, right? Or we tried something and it didn't work. And so we're always kind of thinking about like those sponsorships, those newspaper ads may be good, but if you don't know how other tactics work for your bank, it's worth doing a test.
Absolutely. And I think the elephant in the living room here, Dan, is that traditional advertising spend nationally, I've seen various figures, but at least on a 7% annual decrease year over year for the last 5 years. And I don't expect that trend to continue. I don't think that local print media is going to make a massive, you know, turnaround. One of our prior podcast guests, a bank president, was talking about how his local paper had gone from a 7 day a week to a 2 day a week and felt a little more obligatory to advertise in it than actual marketing benefit, right? So that's kind of the tone of that side of the conversation about traditional. That said, here's the other big piece, is that we work with community banks, and the tremendous opportunity for community banks often is to do those things that the large regional and national banks are not doing. And you and I have talked about this, Dan, but that's where a lot of this traditional advertising comes in, to have our logo on the fence at the baseball field. And yes, the local sponsorships and those newspapers, the local radio. And you're right, in another episode, we're going to talk much more deeply about audience, but tuning those things so that you have that local presence that a lot of your larger competitors and digital banks and all of that are not going to have can certainly be foundational to a marketing strategy.
Absolutely.
I've been asked, you know, as we work with a new client and we go on and on about digital advertising strategies, all the screen facing things, if you will, and that they think we're really down on these forms of traditional marketing. And we make the point, we consider them to still be foundational. However, if you're rutted in, that's kind of all you're doing, and you're not paying attention to all these other channels, social, web, SEO, digital, and spreading the mustard, well, that's where you can be making a mistake, right?
Right. Right. Well, and I like to make the point of these sponsorships and newspaper ads could still be very important, but you're going to get more out of them if you think about why they're important, what they're doing, right? Like brand awareness at the local football game is great for that kind of local feel. And so you probably should still be doing that. Obviously, depending on your community and where you are, but it still can be a very valid thing to do, but it shouldn't take the place of all the other channels we're going to talk about today.
That's right. We were talking with a Tennessee community bank client of ours yesterday, and we're in the process of doing some video and display package for them for the local high school Jumbotron, right? Great yep. place to be. Wonderful idea. But part of what they were leaning into, I think a little bit too heavily, might have been the amount of spend on that and wanting to decrease or not do these, you know, SEM text ads instead of, you know, and I'm like, let's make sure we're getting the right balance here. So Dan, I think that's really the core of what we're talking about today is not to eliminate any of these channels, but to make sure that you're balancing them well.
Right. And another example to throw in, we work at the bank in rural Illinois that their main branch is right next to the local newspaper, right? They're across the street from a movie theater, and they still advertise heavily in the newspaper, right? And they're helping to keep the newspaper open. It's important, you know, the newspaper has good readership in town. Same with the movie theater. They've been running like one of those slides before the movie shows for years and years. But what we've started to kind of do is say, yeah, you still want to run this to support the newspaper. So let's start thinking about that separately from other advertising, right? It's more of a donation, support, sponsorship type of thing than it is an ad, because I wouldn't think about the local newspaper on the same in the same sort of breath as a Google ad. You know, and same thing with the movie. It's good to just show like the slides before that movie are all local businesses. So you want to be seen in that same breath. But you know, what we started to do, and this is what we'll get into in the audience discussion, it's hard to separate the two sometimes, but in the newspaper ads, we started thinking, well, the readership of it is mostly, you know, older people that are approaching retirement or are already retired. What do they care about? And so we started running, this bank has a wealth management division, right? So we started running wealth management ads in the newspaper, right? So we're still getting that brand presence saying, hey, we're here, we're local, you know, we support the town, but we're now focusing on the products that, you know, the readership wants to build.
There you go. So to kind of wrap this up about traditional, we're very much in agreement, you and I, that from a branding perspective, ongoing opportunity there, important for financial institutions to be there and to be doing that. Just yep. don't lean so heavily in it that you're detracting from the newer, more digital opportunities, correct?
Right. And don't expect people to go running into the bank, waving the newspaper.
There you go.
Saying, you know, like open an account.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like how you and I have this ordered out today to now jump into social media. And the reason that I say that is because to me, social media is so key for community engagement, which is local community engagement, which is closely related to what we were just talking about with traditional. Obviously, it's moving into digital platform arenas, but it's adding the ability to build a personality, to be intentional about your messaging while also being conversational. In a bank conference presentation I was doing back a couple of years ago, I actually gave away a prize during the workshop to whoever could name the key item first of what is social media for. The purpose of it is to be, the answer was social. It's not to sell your product and services on a hardline sell
right.
approach. It's just not.
Right.
And unfortunately, we see small businesses, we see all kinds. I've got a good friend of mine that has a men's haberdashery, you know, great store, great looking clothes, all of that, very much on trend and all of that. And this is a friend of mine and I follow their social, but when it's post after post after post of the new shirts that are in and the new shoes and the this and that, and there's no engagement, I'm trying to support this guy and still don't get that. So that's a good example, I think, of financial institutions that are, if you're pitching CD rates on social media, probably need to rethink it.
Yeah.
This to us is where, and Dan, our monthly reporting for social media management services that we do for clients obviously shows significant engagement levels on organic content and much lower on products and service. And then somewhere in between those two are tips, resources, curated yep. information, Sometimes it's just something fun. It's National Donut Day. You know, so we gave donuts to the local high school or whatever the case may be.
Let me pause right there. One of my big soapboxes is National Donut Day type of posts. And we work with banks too that like they post that and mostly just to fill up space or they need to get a post out. But what you said is great in that, you know, what we always try to counsel our banks on is say, don't just post about National Donut Day. Post staff giving donuts to an employee or giving donuts to the high school, right? Tie it to the bank, tie it to your people. Don't
all
just
about
say
positioning.
Happy Donut Day.
Yep. Absolutely. And that positioning, it is very true for the kind of personality and fun posts that you're talking about, again, national holidays and those types of things as an example. But it's also very true for your product and services. And when we're doing content creation hand in hand with banks, it's much more about the energy and the emotion behind a young couple as first-time home buyers. That has a very different feel than pitching our mortgage product or here's our rate. Entirely different conversations. And the first one is what's appropriate for social media. Do you agree?
Absolutely. My rule of thumb is less than 10% of your posts should be promotional, right? And that's even if you're posting 5 days a week, that's like two or fewer posts a month that are promotional. And you know, but that doesn't mean you can't talk about your products, but you've got to do it in that story-driven way of here's the first couple. We just work with one of our clients on a story about a pharmacist that got laid off and within 6 months had gotten a loan from the bank and opened up her own pharmacy. And it's this awesome story of what the bank services can do, because you have to keep, you know, you have to remember people can go out and, you know, get loans anywhere. But if you're the local bank against bigger competitors, you have more flexibility. You know your clients, you're willing to work with them. And so tell those stories of that. Then people will see, oh, I need a loan. I should go to this bank. You don't have to say, come get your loan.
And when we started talking about social media a couple moments ago, I mentioned the word personality. And it's funny from bank marketers and even C-suite folks with banks, and I talk about us building a personality and developing a personality for your bank through your social media, and it's the best channel to do it. They kind of look at me funny. What do you mean? Your bank no longer has to be this stuck-up institutionalized entity. Social media is the perfect opportunity to tell those stories that you're talking about for product and service and clients and all that, but also to tell to relay the personality of what you intend for your bank to be and what its marketing superpower is. What's your message? Is that significant levels of community involvement? Is that charitable support? Is that, you know, being a pillar of the community? There are all these different facets of it, and developing what that consistent message is and then standing on that personality. And it's significant in the engagement levels we see in the insights and reporting on various social channels with clients that do that well, and they want to have that engagement with and the conversation with the community versus thinking that it's just another screen-facing platform to pitch their message.
Yeah, one bank we work with, some of their most popular posts are once a week they have a featured recipe that a customer or an employee brings in. Nothing to do with banking, right? But they say, you know, but by posting it, they can say, great, here's a recipe. We've saved you the trouble of like figuring out something for dinner. But also you're talking about people in the community that they know. And this is a really small town. It works particularly well for them. But, you know, it's just things like that where you don't have to talk about banking, but you're talking about community. You're building those things up and letting your personality come out. And then when your customer comes in, they've got something. Oh, hey, Sue, I saw your recipe. I made those meatballs. It was great.
Love that.
And that's something they're not getting at, you know, at a mega bank or a fintech that's, you know, out of state.
That's right. Now to repeat a picture here, let's also talk about the pink elephant in the living room of social media and the objection that we hear so much, or excuse me, the perceived objection from banks that are not in social media yet or think all they can do is post a brand something just to have an existence there, and that you can't operate in a highly regulated industry and be within compliance and be highly engaging on your social media channels. And that's, it's misled. It's incorrect, because the ones that are doing it and doing it well are not having compliance issues. They're not, you know, they're not having all of that. It's creating those messages and conversations. So it's alleviating that fear.
Yeah, well, the point of compliance is not to regulate posting of recipes, right? It's to regulate how you're talking about your services. But if you're doing social media right, you're not talking about services directly. You're not making promises about your loan rates or your qualification, you know, criteria that are going to flag, you know, raise red flags for compliance. You're just
absolutely
on there having conversations. So you have to be careful. Like, I know the wealth management bank I talked about, you know, they are very concerned about keeping it separate from the rest of their bank. So they don't post about wealth management on social because it's got to go through separate channels. But like, you know, there's some basic rules to keep in mind, but it's one of those areas that once you get into it, it's pretty easy to keep separated and know what to do and what not to do.
Absolutely. And I know you and I have done this. I've done 2-hour workshop presentations just on social media, but parting thoughts on it is to have your act together from a risk management and a policy standpoint on social media, and then go for it.
Yep.
You know, and have someone in the bank that's dedicated to being a spearhead and doing it well. Whether you're working with an outside entity like us or not, or handling it internally. And once you're set up to do that, go do it and do it well.
Yeah. Let's move on to website, which is the next thing in channel mix. So obviously we all know what a website is, hopefully, if we're all bank marketers. You know, here, obviously, you know, you hopefully all have websites. You know, what's important, it's important to think about your website, though, as part of your marketing channel, right? A lot of folks come to your website just to get to online banking. But when they come to the homepage, you know, they see messages, they see other stuff and information about your products. So, you know, first part, it can be a really good cross-sell tool. You know, if your bank has a great, you know, great brand recognition or great, you know, mortgage division, but you struggle to bring people over to the deposit side, you can think about using it for that. If you're really trying to bring in new customers, new younger families, you know, you can lean on mortgage messaging and things like that on the homepage for when people find you. I just saw a stat from, I think it was a Missouri Institute of Science and Technology that said, you know, people spend an average of like 5 seconds looking at any given webpage and you're scanning. So people really need to see that message quickly, right? So if your design doesn't drive them right to a message, or like the top of your homepage isn't formatted properly, or it doesn't work on mobile, you're not, you know, your messages are really old or outdated, you know, you're going to lose people immediately. Because when people are researching you, they're looking at 5 different bank sites within a minute.
So let's give it a real world analogy here.
Yeah.
And it's your window to the world. But it's kind of like the old small town downtown street with a retail store, and you're walking by and you see what's in the front window, right? As you're walking by, and think about it as that kind of a glimpse, and you're correct. And what is it that you're seeing, and can I relate to, and is it useful to me what I'm seeing at that moment's glimpse? You know, and I know the stats said pre-COVID that 67% of the traffic was right here on mobile.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's obviously an older stat. And since then, I'm sure it's done nothing but increase, right?
Yeah. And it's been increasing for several years, and probably that's definitely not slowing down. And I still think a lot of website design is still done desktop first, right? And really it should be the other way around, because the majority of your traffic is mobile.
That's correct. Yes. Our designers go mobile first in design and then back it into tablet and desktop. That's right.
Yep.
And I think it's really important that we mention, Dan, is site mapping. And those of you that are familiar in the web world and UX and UI, user experience, user interface, we see it done wrong where the most crucial items that are of service to your web user are not easy to find. Okay. So that may be, in one sense, categorization of personal versus business, and then further broken down into deposit account and loan opportunities and whatever the case may be, depending on your bank's offerings, then informational and all of that. But it's also, think about it in these terms, it's like going to a restaurant website and you can't find the menu.
Right.
That's a significant problem. So what is that?
And can't find the menu in the first 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? Sometimes yes. It's there, but it's buried.
Yes, that's right. So it's important looking at analytics, traffic tendencies, and where are users being blocked and where are they hitting dead ends.
Yeah.
When you can see that traffic going a direction, and are they just looking for the location address? I need a right. Google map to click on to get to the branch or an ATM or whatever the case may be. And if a bank's perspective that it's more important to do their about and their history as a core of what you find on the website rather than serving clients quickly and well, that's a design issue. It's a sitemap and UX and yeah. UI issue that has got to be changed now, because certainly, Dan, what the pandemic has taught us as much as anything is folks communicating and living on digital spectrums in relationship with their banks. And the website is the home base for that.
Yeah. And I think another layer of that, too, is bank websites are unique among sort of websites in general, in that like most of for the average bank, like most of your website traffic is current customers that are coming there to go to just, you know, they get there, they click online banking, they do their thing. So there's really, you kind of have to bifurcate your web traffic into, you know, non-customers and customers. And the way you can do that, if you're in Google Analytics, is looking at Google Analytics calls it new visitors versus returning visitors, which doesn't exactly correlate. Obviously, you can have a non-customer that comes back to your website a few times. But, you know, what we often do is look at website behavior flow, like what pages are people looking at, how long are they spending, what's the last page they look at before they leave the site. It's way different if you look at new visitors versus returning visitors, because often returning visitors just click through the online banking and they come back once or twice a month. But, you know, the new users come and they see a page, they might, you know, they'll dive into the loan pages or the, you know, the mortgage calculators or those types of things. So it's, you got to think about that behavior flow, but make sure that you're thinking about current and prospects.
Absolutely. And then the resourcefulness and usefulness of that with ones that are investigative, those new users that you're talking about. And do you have online applications? How easy are you making it for a potential customer to convert completely into engagement with you, right? And if your website is not doing that well, and I know in a few minutes when we start talking about digital advertising and driving, you know, traffic to landing pages and what all of that looks like. But again, the website is core and elemental to that, that if all it is an online brochure and that resourcefulness is not there, click to call branches, online applications, on and on and on. And if those things are not very quick and easy to do and easy to find, and they're lost in inundations of other information or complex menus, navigation menus, then that needs to be corrected.
That 5 cents, a big issue that a lot of community banks are trying to solve is appearing like a modern bank with all the technology that you need. And so if somebody comes to your site in that first 5 seconds doesn't see those things, you know, or can't find it, or the site looks old or doesn't load fast, you've lost it, right? You may have all the greatest, you know, mobile check deposit and all the latest features, but if that aura kind of doesn't come through on that homepage in the first 5 seconds, you've lost it. And to the flip side too, a lot of banks, a lot of banks will put something on their homepage that says, now you can apply for your account online. Like, that's table stakes, right? Like, the big banks have been doing that for years. And if you hype it up, if you hype stuff like that up too much, it almost makes you seem like, well, we're finally catching up with the rest of the world. So you've got to kind of, you got to be careful. It's a, you know, art and a science, but
great point.
You want to make sure in that, just keep that first 5 seconds in mind and, you know, think of it, come to the website with new eyes and kind of think of what, look at your competitors, think of how you appear against them.
Great, great point. And a parting thought on web then also, Dan, I liken it to laptops and golf clubs. About every 4 or 5 years, the technology has moved so far that if you haven't jumped, you're behind the game. And it blows my mind how, we engage with bank clients that have 10, 12-year-old websites that aren't even mobile responsive or aren't mobile responsive correctly and haven't really caught up with all of the kind of things that you're talking about. And, you know, a branch will spend, you know, $400,000-$600,000 to build a new branch location, but then balks spending 10, 20 grand on a new website.
Yep.
Think about that really hard. It's key to your brand message and lots of things. So
yep.
I would say don't repave the parking lot. Let's get the website updated.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. So, and I know that rolls us right into SEO, search engine optimization, and we're saying all of this. SEO is key in driving that additional traffic. Right, Dan?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I think you've got a great web property, right? How do you drive traffic to it? So the last two topics here are SEO and digital advertising, which are all about driving traffic. And that's probably the first point I'd make with SEO is a lot of people still think about SEO as, so how do I rank number one on Google? But really, you know, that has become so complex in the last few years. It's not just about ranking number one, right? Because if you think about all the different ways somebody could search for banking products or search for mortgages, search for car loans, search for free checking, search for banks near me, there's hundreds of different, if not thousands of different keyword combinations somebody can use to find you. And Google has gotten so complex in the last few years that depends on where you search from, right? Obviously, if you search banks near me and I'm sitting here in St. Louis and you're sitting in Jackson, Mississippi, you're going to come up with a different list, but that works on kind of the micro scale too, right? If I'm sitting here in my office in St. Louis, or I go 3 blocks away to the Starbucks and I do the same search, it's a different list. So there's a lot of proximity to it. So really it's SEO is not a tool to, yes, SEO like will help you rank higher, but it's not about the absolute ranking. It's about the traffic that it brings, right? So you can rank number two and still get a lot of traffic, but sometimes ranking for a collection of lower volume or lower searched keywords can bring you more traffic than ranking number one on a bigger keyword, right? Or it can be cheaper to do it, right? You may be up against a mega bank on the banks near me search, but you know you've got the world of mortgages all to yourself. And so there's a bit of a strategy that goes into it, but it's all about how do you optimize your rankings to drive more traffic to that, you know, great website that you just built.
Absolutely. And a lot of people that are not in the tech world or not in the web world, very understandably, don't have a comprehension of all that goes into SEO.
Yep.
And don't have a really good understanding that it is not overnight. You're not going to drive, you know, all this additional traffic to your website based on certain keywords, as you're talking about, that's not going to happen overnight. I always liken it to building a human relationship. So if my wife and I pick up and move to a town where we don't really know anybody, we're not going to be very well known there until our kids and grandkids go to school and we go start shopping places and we get involved in community activities and we go to church and we, you know, through our work, you know, and over time you build a human reputation, and SEO is very much like that because it's not a flip of one switch. It's inclusive of building your good reviews. It's all about citations. It's about your on-page SEO work, which is your site speed and your indexing and your meta tags and all these different things that those of us in the marketing arenas are familiar with. But it's those things and more. Content, obviously, a huge element of it. But it's all of those things in combination. It's not one special thing you can do to help us rank the best on mortgages locally. It's not that. And I'm really glad that you mentioned the geographic focus and that SEO is local. That's how Google and the other search engines work, is they're trying to give me as the user the best return, the most accurate return for the search query that I'm doing from where I'm sitting. Yep. And we have bank clients ask us, Dan, sometimes, well, we want to spread out to the north part of the state and all this kind of stuff. So let's put all this behind SEO effort. I'm like, well, you don't have branch, you know, addresses and physical presence in those areas. So that's not going to happen. We need to utilize other strategies. And obviously we're going to talk about digital advertising and ways to be, to target, you know, other things in other ways here in a minute. But SEO is not necessarily the answer for that. So it's building that local presence, correct?
Yeah. I say SEO is a great way to improve your rank, improve your traffic 6 months from now within a couple miles around each of your branches, right? You know, Google Ads are a way to rank, you know, or appear at the top of any search anywhere tomorrow if you have the budget. And if you'd go, you know, I encourage everybody listening, like not if you're driving and listening to this, but go search for banks near me wherever you are. Go search for different keyword terms. It's something we talk about a lot, but I bet a lot of you don't actually go out and do it. And Google's done a great job over the last few years of SEO works on the organic results that show up below the ads, below the maps. And SEO can help with your map ranking too, if you've got good reviews and the proximity plays in there. But you know, what we're really talking about is the stuff that's now below the fold, halfway down the page. And you know, there is a big traffic benefit to doing that. But you've got to weigh it against kind of what you were saying, Chris, is are you trying to appeal to a new market where you don't have a branch, right? Or where you're trying to like conquest a bit against a competitor that's nearby? How do you, what will work better, right? Sometimes the investment in SEO is just going to outweigh what an ad budget would need to be to, you know, to rank highly for a particular term or in a particular area. So it's not all about one or the other. It's about, you know, on the topic of our podcast today is it's about the mix, about finding the right balance between the two. What will SEO do for you versus, you know, what do other things do?
That's correct. So yes, you need to be found. Does SEO work need to be done if you're not doing it on a consistent basis? Absolutely. Are the processes to succeed in SEO going to be different 6 months from now than they are today? You're darn right. Obviously, Google is, you know, Google is 83% of the search market. So that's who we keep talking about, but it plays into it with all of them.
Yeah. So yeah, I think you just have to think about that overlap, right? And I think any conversation about SEO should be had along with the budget for digital advertising too, and we'll talk about that in our budget episode later. But yeah, we see so much of, you know, banks that will spend a lot of money or a lot of time improving their SEO, but then they're still not ranking for, you know, the mortgage keyword in the next town over because they don't have a branch there. So just it just depends.
So rolling over into digital advertising, and we keep mentioning that. So here we are.
Yep.
What a great way to be targeted and intentional. You mentioned the word conquest, you know, a minute ago, and you know what ways to utilize everything that's under the digital advertising umbrella to reach your audiences more deliberately. This obviously is a dynamic set of ways to do that. SEM, which is pay-per-click, Google Ads. I hear so many different terms. Do you mean PPC? Yes. It's, you know, all right. Of those. So it's paid text ads, right? Everything that falls under that. display as a category. So placement on mobile apps, websites, all of these ways that we're putting display ads out there to specific audiences. Again, within compliance, and we'll talk about that a little more in a moment too. But then there's video, such as YouTube pre-roll and all of those things, and audio, so Spotify, Pandora, so on and so forth. What a great way to reach audiences to be within compliance. Often our practice, Dan, is within X number of miles to these three branch locations, for example, or these 10 branch locations. So targeting by radius, those types of things, and utilizing a good mixture of those various digital ad strategies is a great way to go. Some are more expensive, yeah. Some are more affordable. Anyway, yeah, great way to dive into the digital ad world.
I mean, to give the overview, right, digital ads, we're talking about everything from the Google ads that we were just talking about to display to Facebook, Facebook paid, right, which kind of crosses the line into social, but, you know, paid ads and Facebook and Instagram are the same platform these days. So that's all wrapped up into one. Running ads on YouTube, yep. Running ads, running pre-roll video that's not on YouTube, running, you know, broadcast TV ads, but that are purchased, you know, programmatically. So you can have a lot more control over the audience and the geography that it's being dispersed to. You know, all those things are good for different purposes. And we often build digital campaign strategy in layers, right? Like in banking, and the reason is in banking, it takes so long for anybody to do anything, right? Even if somebody's really annoyed at their current bank, it can take months, and then also a big catalyst to make them actually switch and undertake the pain of switching. So by building your campaign strategy in layers, you know, one layer is like a brand awareness layer where you're putting the bank logo out there on digital channels, which will help build your brand and make people see you as relevant, right? That kind of just goes. It's an always-on thing. It's like a digital billboard that sits out there and just gets in front of people. When they're ready, you know, most people, I think the stats are over 80% of people still research everything on Google. So they will go to Google and search banks near me or search, you know, for mortgage. You know, that's the next layer of, you know, kind of down the funnel a bit of be there too. You've built that brand awareness. Often we'll run a brand awareness campaign and then we'll see searches for that bank name go up on Google. So people are getting awareness and then going to search you. And so that's where, like, you've got to have your SEO in check. You've got to have your Google ads in check. As the budgets go up, you can layer in things like video, which tends to cost a little bit more expensive or be a little bit more expensive, but does a lot more for remembering your brand and the brand awareness stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that goes into it, but you know, most banks we start with, if you're just getting into the digital advertising world, it's test some display ads, because you can run them pretty cheap. You can target them highly around your branches, like Chris, you were saying. You know, so usually on a smaller budget, it's a combo of display ads and Google ads, PPC. And then as you keep going, you can layer in Facebook, you can layer in, you know, TV and those other things as your budget goes up or as you get more sophisticated, more comfortable with it.
Absolutely. The big differentiator here from traditional marketing that we began today's episode with talking about into digital is that with digital, we literally are creating a sidewalk down which potential new customers can walk and convert with us. So yep. Again, nothing wrong with outdoor. You put a website or a phone number, whatever the case may be, on there. How many people are going to pull over to the side of the road and call you or whatever the case may be? Yes, zero. That can be building your brand. But the big difference there is with digital marketing. When I'm on my weather app and I have been searching for a new home and displaying those kinds of online behaviors, and then I see a mortgage ad for my local bank and I click on that, then, Dan, as we know, that sidewalk, that pathway from that point to a conversion is crucial.
Yep.
So what landing page are they going to, and are conversions really easy from that point? Impressions in the digital advertising world are great. Clicks are more key, and give us a much better idea of the action that's being taken, and is our creative good, whether it's text or video or whatever the case may be, but then getting that actual conversion, that's the end of the rainbow, right?
Yep.
So it's creating that opportunity for consumers to very easily follow that pathway and then click to call, give my email for more information, download a free ebook, whatever those conversion activities may be, so that in the brick and mortar sense, it's they just walked in my lobby. Right.
Right. Building trust, because it takes people so long to you know, make banking decisions or, you know, pull the trigger to apply or open an account. Putting all those, I like the analogy of like breadcrumbs and deer, right? You've got to put all those breadcrumbs out there, have something for people, and they'll get a little closer and they'll get a little closer. And they learn more about your brand and they trust you. And, all those things have to be, congruent and polished, or you're going to spook them and they're going to run off.
So, yep.
Absolutely. And the point is to make, even if you're doing a billboard, a traditional billboard on the highway, people are probably still going to go home and Google you, right? And then you want to capture them, and then your brand will follow them around on digital advertising for a few months. And that's how the brand awareness gets built. And that's how, you know, over time you're going to win those customers. It's not all about the number of clicks that you get or the number of form fills that you get. Those are important and a big piece of this, but it's just about laying all those breadcrumbs in all the different places.
Ultimately resulting in ROI, which as marketers is what we're after at the end of the day, regardless.
Right. And ROI for banks is often, you've got to look at the whole channel mix. And this is probably a great way to wrap up the episode, but you've got to look at that whole channel mix and look at the ROI of all the efforts that you're doing, because a display brand awareness campaign by itself, if you're doing nothing else and you're just driving people to the homepage of your website, it's not gonna work. And so we see it. We work with a lot of banks that are like, well, we tried Facebook ads or we tried Google ads, didn't work for us. I'm like, yeah, but it will work in this ecosystem of various channels and making sure all those breadcrumbs are in the right places and you're not spooking the deer as they, you know, get closer to you and think about switching, think about applying, you know, over a period of months.
Couldn't agree more. And I think, let me paint a picture for us for just a moment. For all of our listeners that are marketing professionals, various bank roles, all those types of things, I'm going to make an assumption here for a moment that the vast majority of our listeners at least took a marketing 101 class, right? It was probably in week two that in marketing 101, they started talking about multi-touch. And what that means. Today's marketing to me, Dan, what traditional social, web, SEO, digital marketing has created are so many more opportunities to be multi-touch. So when a customer is considering a loan or opening a business or switching to your bank with a deposit account or getting a student checking account for their teenager or whatever the case may be, if they're seeing us at the local ball field, if they're engaging with us on social and is seeing that, oh, this bank cares about their people and I see them on Facebook and Instagram, et cetera, and I go to their website and it's easy for me to follow around and gain information there. And by the way, I got there because I Googled them and the SEO worked well and they came up. And then, you know, I'm going to YouTube or I'm on my weather app and I saw an ad for them there. So what an ideal multi-touch opportunity that today's marketing realm brings to us. The multi-touch used to be radio, billboard, newspaper, et cetera, and it's not anymore. So this channel mix that we've talked about today affords such great opportunity as long as your strategy is to spread across these things evenly, test, beta test, measure your ROI, know that you have to invest in growing your brand, which doesn't always have as measurable of an ROI, all the way through to the things that we can literally measure, that we got 17 conversions that turned into X number of new accounts this month.
Yeah, I second all of that.
There you go. There you go. Well, Dan, this has been great. You and I talked about this before we started the episode today. This is the pool that we swim in all day, mm-hmm. every day, right? Us and our teams that work with banks to be spread across all these various channels and doing it well, taking your brand consistently across all of these channels, consistent messaging. So I think it's been great to talk about this, and hopefully it's been very helpful for all of our listeners.
Absolutely. I hope everybody kind of got a little bit of something.
There you go.
A little bit of something out of this episode. I know, you know, you're probably strong in a few of these areas, but maybe not all of them, or maybe you're not thinking about them all in the same bucket. So hopefully we got your gears turning today.
There you go. So Dan, at this point in our episodes, when we have guests on, which is a regular occurrence for us, this is when we kind of step into our lightning round and our last few questions. But let's take this opportunity. Tell me something that you've got coming up in some of your appearance opportunities.
Yeah. So I'm going to be speaking towards the end of April, on April 28th, to the Community Bankers Association of Illinois. Their marketing conference is up in Springfield, Illinois that day. So I'm going to give a talk on kind of deep segmentation and how to improve cross-sell by layering in some data analysis. So if you're in Illinois, if you're a member of the CBAI, you know, check it out. Come say hi. I'll be up there all day.
Great. Super. And May 11th through 13th, I believe it is, I will be in Destin, Florida with the Mississippi Bankers Association with presentation and trade show opportunities there. So Mississippi's bankers would love to connect with you and meet up with you there. And then Dan, I know in future episodes, you and I have some other places and shows we'll be participating in and appearing on as well. So we'll keep everybody informed on those.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got some great, great content coming up. So we mentioned the future discussion between Chris and I on audience, one later on budget. So you definitely want to check those out because they layer on real nicely to the stuff we talked through today. And then we've got a friend of yours, Chris Kellum, coming on in our next episode as well.
Yeah, really excited about having Chris on. He is the author of Ignite Your Purpose, and we'll let him tell more about his book. But Chris has a great deal of experience working with NFL, Major League Baseball, lots of very well-known college athletes and all of that in his repertoire. But he speaks frequently with and coaches and consults with corporate teams on performance and those types of things, and has really got some great stuff to bring to us and how this is going to impact our professional marketing world for each of us personally and how we contribute to our team. So yeah, really excited about having Chris on next.
Yeah, and that'll be should be coming out 2 weeks after this episode. So check it out.
You got it. Dan, this has been great conversation. I think very helpful and resourceful to our listenership audience. So all of you folks, we appreciate you joining us today. We do want to encourage you to go to bankmarketingshow.com, to our website. Lots of ways to engage with us there. Watch or listen to previous episodes and gain some other information. So take the time to go there. Find ways to click and email us and contact us directly.
Absolutely.
All right, Dan, great being with you today.
Likewise.
All right. You got it. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. And join us next time.